So are you ready? Ready to go out on mission? That's really the challenge of our gospel today. Our dear Lord sends out these 72 disciples, so other followers besides the apostles, to prepare his way. You and I must never forget that we too are called to be sent out to prepare the way for the Lord's second coming, to establish his kingdom here on this earth. As we continue this celebration of the Year of Faith, commemorating the beginning of the Second Vatican Council 50 years ago, we should be mindful that this is our calling. In the dogmatic constitution of the Church, the Church Fathers began with Chapter 1, this introduction to what is the Church, but then Chapter 2, the people of God, and our calling to be not only witnesses, but to be holy. This chapter includes all of us, because through our baptism, we're part of this people of God. Through baptism, as St. Paul reminds us, we've been recreated. We've been incorporated into the body of the Church. We're called to share in Christ's work. At the baptism ritual, this is very significant. Right after the baptism, by pouring of water and the invocation of the Trinity, the priest anoints our head with holy chrism, a blessed oil that originates in the Old Testament times. It was used to anoint the priests, prophets, and kings of the Jewish people, showing that God had called them to a very special role of leadership and would empower them with grace to fulfill the role. We're anointed because Christ is the priest, the prophet, and the king. Because of our baptism, then, we too are called to share in his priesthood, to sanctify through our own prayers and worship, to share in his role as prophet, to teach others the faith, to share in his role as king, to help direct and guide people along the way of salvation. This anointing has significance because just like oil on a garment would leave a permanent stain, baptism leaves a permanent mark on our soul. We're identified as a Christian and a member of the Church. Chrism is also a perfumed oil, so we're called to smell different, in a good sense, smell different in this world. So we don't think of ourselves as just Sunday Christians and weekday pagans. We're called to always radiate that aroma of the presence of Christ. So with that in mind, we also remember that, yes, we do have a priesthood in our Church. So myself and other priests, through the sacrament of holy orders, have been ordained to do as Christ has done. So we act in the person of Christ, who's the head of the Church. And specifically, we're called to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. So that priesthood is different in degree as well as in essence. But while I offer this Mass on the altar here, you all have to be mindful that when you go forth, you go to your own altar, the altar of your home, or your place of work, your school, your neighborhood. There's your altar. So when the priest at the end of Mass blesses, and he says, go forth, the Mass is ended. It's really now just beginning again, because you all are called to go out to act in Christ's stead, to do his work, to proclaim his gospel. Now, our Lord gives us some very practical advice in doing all of this, doesn't he? He says, first of all, he's going to send them out two by two. This is good. As members of the Church, we need that support. We need the support of our fellow members of the Church. We know the difficulty of this world. So it's good to have good, solid, Catholic, Christian friends. He specifically mentions this idea of a companion, two by two. Well, this is important. Each one of us here needs some kind of a confidant, a companion. That may be, for many of you, your spouse, could be a parent, could be a best friend. For priests, usually it's another priest, especially a spiritual director. We all need somebody who's going to give us encouragement, to direct as well as to correct, to give us a place or a listening heart so that we can vent at times. Not to gossip, because that's just mindless, but to vent so that we can get those tough things out of our lives, and that person will listen and again give guidance, maybe redirect us. We all need that. So I encourage all of you to look in your lives, especially you young people, have good Catholic friends. This is an important message then when we think of participating in the church, Knights of Columbus, Our Ladies of Hope, some kind of ministry. This is how we get to know others. For you young adults who may be single, if you're thinking of maybe getting married, why not look around? If you need some help, ask me. I like playing matchmaker. Or, you know, if you, and I've done it before, and if you have troubles, maybe go to, you know, Catholic.com or whatever that website is. But in all, and I've known three couples that have found wonderful spouses that way. But we need to find that, because in living out this mission, we need the support. Step two, our Lord says, though, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, wolves are predators. They eat lambs. So this isn't very appealing when we think about it. We can picture ourselves in the jaws of a wolf. But we have to remember, who's the lamb? It's not little Bo Peep kind of lamb. This is the triumphant Savior lamb, the Lamb of God who went to the cross, who offered himself as the sacrifice for sin, the Lamb who rose from the dead, who conquered not just sin and suffering, who conquered death itself. When St. John the Apostle has the vision that's recorded in the book of Revelation, he sees the heavens open. There's an altar. There's the throne of God the Father. Surrounding the altar are thousands of angels and saints, especially the martyrs. On the altar is the triumphant Lamb, Christ himself. And they chant that with your blood you have purchased for God men of every race and tongue, of every people and nation. You made of them a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and praise. So with that, you and I have to remember, if we've been baptized and received all those graces, we've also been sealed with the Holy Spirit through confirmation. We've been nourished with the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. We should have no fear of the wolves. We will defeat the wolves. One way is by the Word of God. The truth is truth. Simple as that. Error will always defeat itself. It doesn't matter who wants to proclaim what. Truth is truth. So you and I need to arm ourselves with the truth. Where do we find it? Of course, Sacred Scripture, the Catechism, other resources. But again, thinking about these disciples, when you go out to the workplace, the neighborhood, wherever, you all know those hot topics that people like to talk about, whether it's moral issues or something else. Prepare yourself. This would be something good for the summertime. You know the issues, and maybe instead of being uncertain or even being intimidated, keeping the mouth shut, know the faith so that reasonably, with conviction, you can address usually the person who only knows part of the story, the person who may well be ignorant, or even the person who's just downright hateful. Those are the wolves. But with the truth, we can conquer. And it might have a tremendous effect. I think of some of the saints, especially since we finished that fortnight for religious freedom, St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher, the only bishop who opposed Henry VIII. But those two did not give in to the wolves. Yes, they died a martyr's death. But who really won? Their names are written in the Book of Life in heaven. Or I think of 50 years later about St. Edmund Campion. This is now the time of Elizabeth I, who killed more people than any Spanish Inquisition. Never forget that. More Catholics, especially priests. She ordered the hunting down of priests. St. Edmund Campion was a Jesuit. He would print leaflets explaining the faith. People were converting back to the church. But then he was arrested. They gave him all kinds of bribes. Elizabeth and her little henchmen said, "We'll make you a bishop if you renounce your faith." Well, that didn't work. They interrogated him about our faith. He confused all of their Church of England officials. He defeated their arguments. They racked him 3 times. Imagine that, being racked. History says that he was 3 inches taller by the time he was done. When they asked him, "How do you feel?" he said, "I feel fine because I feel nothing." He never gave in. He was executed, being hung, drawn, and quartered, a brutal act. But he never gave in to the wolves. And what happened? There was a Philip Howard, Duke of Norfolk, who witnessed all that interrogation, even the racking. He was one of Elizabeth's favorites. He became a Catholic. He would die in the Tower of London. Another man of nobility, saw the execution at Tyburn, saw Edmund Campion being hung, drawn, and quartered. The blood of Edmund Campion's heart even hit him in the eyes. Well, Henry Walpole became a Jesuit himself. He saw the witness of faith. That's when, like our Lord says, you see Satan fall from heaven. There you have it. So my brothers and sisters, the Lamb of God is on our side. We have no fear of the wolves. But take it one step further. Jesus says, remember, depend upon me. So our Lord says, don't take the garment bag and the sack and things like that. Our Lord's reminding us, you need to depend upon me. I can't do it on my own. We all need grace, the grace that comes especially through the sacraments. Our Lord also said that when you find yourself in these positions of persecution, rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to say what people need to hear, to speak the truth. Then the last step was, Jesus said, if they reject you, shake the dust off your feet. It's a Semitic expression. The idea is, don't take their contamination with you. Don't take that dust of rejection and hostility with you. Don't let it penetrate the heart. Shake it off and move forward. Their judgment they bring upon themselves. But nevertheless, stay the course. Now those disciples followed this. They came back rejoicing. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, along with these demons described as scorpions and snakes and so on. But Jesus also reminded them that they were successful because of a peace. If we really take this to heart, if we remember who we are by virtue of our baptism, that we really are relying on the strength of the Lord, that the Lamb of God is with us, and we fortified ourselves with the truth, guaranteed we'll find a peace. The peace that, like St. Edmund Campion had, or St. John Fisher, St. Thomas More, or we think even of Pope John Paul II, who just recently, as was announced, will be canonized a saint. Many of us remember him, and we think of how he went to this world. This world was his altar. He preached the truth, no matter who it was, whatever authority figure, and there was a peace. And didn't people want to follow because they saw that? The same has to be true with us. Here is something important for us to remember. When we think of this world and maybe changing this world, it's not going to be just through words. It has to be how we live our lives. We need to be holy. We need holy marriages, holy families. We need holy young people. I mention that specifically. Just 2 weeks ago, we had 28 teens from our parish join a total of 1,000 teens throughout the diocese for work camp. We had 10 adults go, including Father Shear. And so they spent a week helping people who were really poor down in the southern part of our diocese. Here, they were helping people fix up their homes, even build a home. You may have seen the article in the Catholic Herald. Many of these people weren't Catholic, but what a great witness to see these Catholic young people who are on fire do the good work of our Lord. But one of our teens had a great experience. She shared this with me. She's a young lady that I had taught back in eighth grade. And she encountered in her little group, because they're divided into like groups of five, this one girl who is Catholic, but she admitted that she is only Catholic because her grandmother's dying wish was that she should be. So probably that meant she was confirmed. And also that she would participate in the church programs. Well, this other teen asked our teen, "Do you really believe all this? Why are you so happy and joyful?" And our teen said, "I do believe in all this. I do believe that our Lord's present in the Blessed Sacrament. I do say the rosary every day. I know Christ." How beautiful that was. And our teen said to this young lady, "You know, we're having a holy hour tonight. Why don't you just take some time and allow the Lord to enter your mind? Just for 5 minutes. It will change your life." Well, the teen took the advice. A couple of days later, that other teen came back to our teen and said, "Thank you. You've helped change my life." Now we hope and pray that that journey continues on. But there's the witness we need. There's our mission. So my brothers and sisters, we go back to that question. Are you ready? Are you ready today when you leave this Mass to be mindful that this week, with all the different opportunities you may have, that you have the opportunity to make Christ present to others, to bring Satan down and crush him from heaven, but most importantly, to bring the love of Christ in this very fragile world. May God bless you.